This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fetrakis, and we're following breaking news worldwide, but particularly here in the USA, where it's finally come to the attention of the mass media that we live in a police state, that we have a huge spy apparatus, and the NSA has been caught. Although it's been written about for decades now, the National Security Agency has been caught spying on Americans in violation of the Fourth Amendment with no probable cause. And of course, they're going to tell us it's to protect us from terrorism and terrorists. But usually it always ends the same. It's the government who ends up being the terrorist. I've got Jerry Bello, the investigative reporter for thefreepress.org, who's written a series of articles regarding this breaking news with the NSA spying apparatus. Jerry, why don't you take us through your most recent reporting?
Oh, well, where to start? I mean, as you've said and written, the idea that the NSA is up in your internets and all your internets are belong to them, as the kids would say these days, is nothing new. The NSA needed to move into the internet right at the end of the Cold War. It took them to the middle of the 90s to really focus that way and get past their institutional biases to really go after the internet. But since then, they've always wanted the right to do it, not the ability, because of the infrastructure they have the ability. So that's now we're beginning to actually see that as fact as opposed to theory or possible program. But on another level, what we have is an administration that's fully embraced this, on one hand denying it, on another hand actively using it, and we have the sort of privatization of the NSA to, you know, contractors who also sell their services to corporate America, who uses them in expressly political ways.
Well, really, that's one of the key aspects of the story, is that the private contractors that are emerging in this really have partisan politics. They're far right, and they were going to use a lot of this data and spying on behalf of the government. Whatever their role is as a proprietary, a private company, to really harass the left, were they not?
Absolutely. If you look at, I mean, first, you can't divorce the history of computers from the history of the NSA.
Okay.
And you can't divorce.
But they really gave us the supercomputer, did they not?
They gave us the computer, period. I mean, computers, as we understand them and as we know them, were invented to deal with codes. They were invented, and then we found other uses for them since then. But in the 40s, computers were for nuclear bombs and for cracking codes.
And these, the NSA really is the old bureau that dealt with cryptology and breaking and code breakers.
Yes, code makers, code breakers. And in that, you can't have a technology without a contractor, without a government contractor. It's not like the computers are just, you know, you need somebody with the facilities to make these. So the history of the computer.
So at Fort Meade, they can't make their own technology?
They can. They can definitely press their own chips. They can make their own but that's for foreign intelligence. If they discover the Russians, for instance, are using a certain code and they discover what that code is, they can make a purpose-designed chip and make, you know, thousands or even millions of them and make a specially designed, a single one-off specially designed computer to deal with that particular problem. But that's not efficient money-wise or time-wise when you need a more general purpose device. And that's where, you know, in the old way of thinking, a hardware manufacturer comes in where the government needs somebody to make a more general purpose device that can be retasked. It's just a powerful computer that can deal with this or that or the other code. At that point, you need a general purpose supercomputer and you need someone to make it, even if those supercomputers aren't profitable. For instance, the only reason that Cray continued to exist through the 80s was because the NSA needed Cray to exist. And Cray was massively subsidized as supercomputers were subsidized as a strategic industry, the same way that shipbuilding is. We subsidize shipbuilding in the United States so that we can have a Navy, not so that we can make money off ships.
So as we look at the current situation, is this a historical moment? Do people now get it that their government is Orwellian, that they are spying on everything, and that they're also putting it together to get a complex picture on as many Americans as they can?
Well, I mean, people always got it. I mean, you can't have a telephone without the ability for somebody to listen in. And people understand that. You know, in the old days of phones and wires, you know, you could be tapped in when, before dialing, when you used to, in the 40s, pick up the phone and go tell the operator what number you'd like to be plugged in. The operator can listen to your phone call automatically. So the ability to eavesdrop has always been there, and the public knows it, and the public knows, has always suspected that, you know, the big they are watching us. It's a little bit different for the public to have the proof that they are watching us and to know how and under what circumstances, who participates in that watching. With the public, I don't think understands yet is the way that that data is looked at, integrated, analyzed, and the public doesn't understand our own participation in watching ourselves and advertising ourselves.
Well, what do you mean by that? Watching ourselves and advertising ourselves? Is this like the Minority Report?
Well, I mean, in a sense, when I talk about my if I was to go out and shoot my mouth off on the internet about my daily life, I would be talking about my interactions with my, and that's what I, as a security professional, rule number one, don't talk about yourself on the internet. I don't have a Facebook page, not only because I don't need the public at large to know every single detail about me or, you know, like what song I'm listening to right now.
Jerry Bella. He's wearing a very prominent, but perfect on him, feathered boa.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, it's a disservice to my friends in my community to say, I was out at such and such a place with such and such a person last night, and, you know, maybe they don't, maybe my friend Joe doesn't want me talking about the fact that he had a lampshade on his head, you know, or, you know, was making a fool out of himself at XYZ concert.
Does the NSA care about those types of connection? Who's out with you? Who you're hanging out with?
Well, absolutely,
where you're at?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, in a meta sense, yes, they do. Yes, they do. They want to know who you trust, who your friends are, where you might run, what your friendship networks are, who your ideas influence. It's not just a matter of did you go and make a bomb with person ABC. It's does person A and person B and person C agree with you? Can you influence their opinion? Where are you influencing their opinion? What opinions do you share? It's about mapping the flow of ideas in between people and their social interactions. And to a degree, the sort of strange exhibitionism that the modern internet has fostered in a lot of ways is a consumer buy-in into this, where if the national security state is listening to everything, we're all running around shouting about every single thing that's going on in our lives at the top of our lungs into the microphone, right? One, the microphone isn't hidden. All right, everybody knows that the microphone's there and we can talk about who made the microphone and why. But we've created a situation where it's socially attractive for us to shout into the microphone.
Shout about our lives, shout about everything we're doing, shout about
yes,
what we're buying. The only thing on the internet I've ever seen is, you know, when you're leaving to go out of town, don't let people know because criminals will come and burglarize your houses. In this case, is the NSA and the government the criminals we're talking about?
No, but I mean, like, what else are you talking about on the internet? You know, you Facebook tag this and that person that was at something because you saw them, and now you've linked them with that profile. You know, okay, let's take a controversial band like Rage Against the Machine. I go to a Rage Against the Machine concert. Somebody takes my picture there. Somebody else Facebook tags me there. Now, maybe that group has expressed ideas that the government doesn't like. Now, those ideas are linked with me. My position in time and space is linked with me. And my friends are linked with those ideas and my position in time and space. Now, it's not a concert. It's a conspiracy. It's a political gathering. It's something that's being monitored. And we're contributing to it. On top of that, take all our cell phones that are constantly reporting on us. And it, you know, I'm walking around with a device in my pocket that tells the government who I had lunch with, you know, where I was every minute of every day, or at least where that device was, and almost no one is without their phone.
So I've got a cell phone here, and you're telling me that this thing, I've got a BlackBerry, very unhip, is squealing on me?
Every 7 seconds.
How's that possible?
Well, in order for your BlackBerry to receive your phone calls, the phone system needs to know where that BlackBerry is in order to know which cellular tower to route the call to in order to transmit to that BlackBerry. In order to facilitate that, your BlackBerry every couple of seconds is going, "Hi, I'm Bob's phone. If anybody needs Bob, I'm right here." And so, therefore, your position in time and space is being very accurately mapped, and that device is doing it for you in order to facilitate you being able to receive calls. It's a natural byproduct of having a cell phone. What's not a natural byproduct of it is storing that data. In other words, there's nothing that compels the phone companies to store. They need to know where you are right now. They don't need to keep a record of where you were yesterday. It doesn't really matter. They don't make any money off it. They make money off the duration of your call, and that is it.
So how do you see the relationship between the big cell phone providers, Verizon, for one, and the other ones, and the government?
They've facilitated this for forever. I mean, it's not like they got into bed together. It's that they've never been out of bed. There are people whose job it is to facilitate this communication. And yes, Verizon is in receipt of a court order that tells them to hand it over. But that court order, Verizon would definitely do it anyway. And that court order is there to grant Verizon immunity from being sued for violating your privacy.
This is WCRS 98.3, 102.1. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm here with Jerry Bellow, freepress.org investigative reporter, who's just written a series of articles about the current NSA scandal.
Actually, it's and hasn't just written, is still writing. Because I've got another one coming out in a couple hours and at least three more in the pipe.
Okay. We'll take the three as just written and two more are forthcoming. So technically, the Free Press editor stands by his statement.
I ain't done yet. I'm not done. Just to warn the boss, and I ain't done yet.
Neither is the government. they can spy as much as you can write. What are we going to find out in the long run? What about the whole sentiment is, I've got nothing to hide. I'm not doing anything illegal. Hence, I don't care if the government is looking at who I called.
Define illegal. I mean, what ends wrong? I haven't done anything wrong, really, according to whom? Because sentiments change. Sentiments change and, you know, I'm not, you know, saying, hey, I'm not involved with Al-Qaeda, so I don't care. Well, these same systems have been used by these same companies to spy on people for being vegetarian, spy on people for wanting voting integrity, spy on people for being against the Citizens United decision. Where this is not a law enforcement tool, this is a social control tool, where they are cataloging, where private companies that built this are also cataloging who is against corporate control, who has what opinion, and they're doing it in such a way to undermine people's legit, not just persecute people directly, but to undermine and destroy movements for peace, for social justice, for economic justice in this country. As a friend of mine said, you know, since they can read our chats, the basic message from Obama here is I know what you're thinking, and if I don't like it, I'll kill you. And that's the basic line is there's a direct line that leads from PRISM, finding out what your beliefs are, to Obama deciding whether or not you should die for it. Both of which things he finds out, he gets PRISM reports and kills people with a drone over breakfast in the morning and then goes out and has his picture taken with school kids. That's Tuesday at the White House.
So is this simply the way the modern state is going to go? Why isn't there more outrage over this? Most of the outrage appears from the mainstream media. We're not seeing an American spring yet.
Well, it's sort of prophetic to think that, or to read, or hopefully not prophetic, in the CEO of Google's book, New Digital Age, Henry Kissinger is quoted as saying that there will be no more springs. Quite literally, yes, this is Google's vision for the future says that there will be no more springs. Make no doubt about it.
And this is because it's endless summer like the Beach Boys and it's going to be so beautiful in the digital age?
Well, no. With your consumer participation, they are going to construct and fine-tune leaders and policies. So are we seeing outrage? I feel like we're seeing outrage. I'm getting feedback from the internet. I'm reading what people write. People are pissed that outrage hasn't crystallized into targeting on the part of the public, because this isn't Egypt. You can't stand in the middle of a square in front of a monolith's office. This is the government, in a very real sense, is a diffuse, decentralized, uneven network, much more than a big monolithic entity. So, you know, it's a matter of where do you start? Are people angry? Yes. Are people scared? Yes. Do people want it to change? Yes. How to go about that? What point in time, the public hasn't defined for itself yet, what point in time and space it's going to choose to mobilize over this. Is there the will to mobilize? Definitely.
Now, when we look at what they're doing, how much information do they have? I mean, is this the so-called tip of the iceberg, what Verizon was doing? Is everyone doing this, and is more going on than we've contemplated?
How much information do they have? All of it. The problem isn't getting...
By that, you mean virtually every electronic transmission...
On the planet.
Okay. So every time I swipe my card at Kroger,
yes,
I have to worry how much pita and how much hummus I've bought?
Because
that's the food of terrorists?
Could well be. I mean, every interaction. I mean, the government knows not only what you said on the email, but what spam you received, and saying, we're not going to spy on people if they're not involved with things that are overseas. Well, if I get spam from overseas, I've received email from overseas, doors open, they can walk right in.
Well, won't I get due process?
No, you don't have due process. They define what due process is. If you want to know what due process is, up until now, that's been... What due process is now top secret. And Franz Kafka is rolling over in his grave so much that he could be a ballerina by now.
Or at least we're back at Animal House, where we all are on double secret
probation. Exactly. To take this step further, the government's problem, what they're applying their technology to, is not getting the data. That's easy. Storing the data, that's expensive. Understanding the data, that's hard. And since there's...
Isn't all my information in the cloud that I've got stored, isn't that safe?
Functionally, the NSA is the cloud. No, I mean, really, functionally...
That makes sense.
Functionally speaking, the NSA
is the
cloud.
I knew it was cheap for a reason.
Yes, but it's... It's cheap for a reason, but by the same token, there's a consumer buy-in from you, where I wouldn't say, you know, go, gosh, if I just had something that told me where Bob was and gave me all his phone calls, you know, the NSA couldn't pay $500 worth of cell phone or $300 worth of cell phone to spy on everybody. But now we've bought into it. We participate in it. And they make this exchange of information easy so that we will overuse it.
Are we spying on ourselves? Is that what you're saying?
We're spying. We're snitching on ourselves, and we're snitching on each other all the time, essentially. And we're paying for the equipment, and we're being exhibitionists about our lives. It's fostered a culture where, I mean, look at Twitter. Most of what people have to say on Twitter is inconsequential. Every time they somebody's mind completes a thought, they got to tell everybody about it. Now, all that's being recorded and stored somewhere. And does everybody really need to know every time that you feel like texting to the world this or that? Well, that's one thing, and that's a cultural thing, but on another level, we're being encouraged to spit every thought that we have out there for our friends and family, but that's also going into a database, and when those thoughts and speech involve other people, you know, well, what were you doing? Who did I see you with last night, Joe? Now, there, you know, that now when that question goes to 100 people, and I'm not just teasing Joe, but it goes to 100 people and the NSA, even though my friend might not have a spouse who might be offended or annoyed or getting ready to file, the NSA now knows that my friend Joe has had a mystery date last night, and we're all participating rather than, which is a lot more efficient than having the NSA go, we'd really like to know where your friend Joe was last night. Tell us. Tell us where your friend Joe was, and we'll give you $100. Tell us, or we'll ship you to Siberia. You know, where we're encouraged to just talk and talk and talk, where they're always listening. It's much more efficient if we have a consumer buy-in to the surveillance state.
So it's your feeling that this is really the new high-tech COINTELPRO. It's really there to control and disrupt any dissidents on the left.
On the left and to a lesser degree on the right. Not just control and disrupt, but to invite their participation into acceptable bounds, not just to encapsulate, you know. John Ashcroft, after 9/11, famously said, American counterterrorist strategy is not based around law enforcement, it's based around disruption. In other words, it's out there to make people who want some political agency to channel them into ways that will fail or cosmetic change that the system can accept or get them to buy into a consultative process that'll lead to no material change in the way things are actually working, to encapsulate and distract and co-opt movements.
And so, understand, are they going beyond the gathering of information to the actual shaping of a status quo culture to make sure progressive independent groups aren't going to flourish and be successful? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm suggesting that part of the information that they're gathering is to aggregate sentiment, to analyze speech, to analyze writing, to see where people are at, to find something that's acceptable, to push people and pull people and invite people to participate in a totalitarian centrism.
Or, Herbert Marcuse called one-dimensional man or one-dimensional society, really centered around a variety of rituals in many ways, like the big Super Bowl party, or the Christmas, the Super Bowl, or numerous other massive, Cinco de Mayo, of course, booze for college students.
Not the big Super Bowl, your own personal, perfect, participatory events.
Like your own private Idaho. I like it. Jerry Bello, we're out of time here. Free Press investigative reporter. Read his series of articles, some still forthcoming. I think the NSA knows that, at freepress.org. Thanks for stopping in and talking to us on the other side of the news. What's the next article you've already written and hasn't been posted? What's it going to say?
my next article is going to talk about Google and Henry Kissinger.
Google and Henry Kissinger, our favorite war criminal. Thanks for coming to the studio, Jerry.